Myth number five. And this is backing up a bit to something you mentioned in passing just a few minutes ago about our confession of Christ's exaltation in the Creed. And you began with the words, he descended into hell. However, there are a lot of Christians and perhaps people new to the Christian faith who would assume that the descent into hell was to do what people usually do when they go to hell, and that is to suffer punishment there.
Yeah, and of course, then it wouldn't be part of his exaltation at all.
So, how do we sort this out? Where do we get clear on what the descent into hell is really all about?
Well, I think the first place is something he said on the cross right before he died, namely, it is finished. And that meant it really was finished there. Jesus went through the torments of hell, but he went through them there on the cross. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, he is enduring separation from the saving presence of God. Now, what does that mean for God to be forsaken by God, you know, for the Son of God to be forsaken by his Father? That, too, is a mystery that defies our plumbing it. But he bore the wrath of God for all the sin of all people of all time there on the cross. When he says it's finished, it really is. Whatever the descent into hell may mean, it can't mean that he's going to suffer some more.
So what does the Bible, if it teaches anything beyond just that he descended into hell, what does it teach it was all about?
We don't have a lot of detail, you're right, about the descent into hell. First Peter says, Christ went and preached to the spirits in prison. Interestingly, it doesn't say he preached the gospel. It says he preached to them. I like to picture it for people this way. The first promise of the gospel was really overheard by Adam and Eve. It was part of the curse that God was pronouncing upon the devil in the Garden of Eden. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, you will bruise his heel. In effect, the devil was the first one to hear the gospel. It wasn't good news for him, it was news of his own demise. But nonetheless, the devil was being directly addressed by God in those words. When Jesus actually did do his work and finished it all and then came back to life in the tomb, the first one he goes and tells is the devil. And he tells the devil, I have won.
And then, as you continue to describe via the words of the Creed, his exaltation, he rose again on the third day, he ascended into heaven. What is the importance of these two things? Sometimes in Scripture, like the book of Hebrews, even spoken of as one exaltation, the resurrection and the ascension.
Christ's resurrection shows, of course, that he is God, that what he said was the truth. He staked all of his claims on this sign of Jonah, as he called it, that like Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, so he would be in the earth for 3 days and then come out. Maybe most significant in terms of this discussion, Christ's resurrection shows that God the Father accepted the sacrifice he made, because it was a sacrifice that was made by God himself as well as by man. In the person of Jesus Christ. So God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice for the reconciliation of the world. And, Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. All believers in Christ will rise like he did. That's the resurrection. Now, you asked about the ascension, too, right?
Yes.
The ascension shows us that Christ was a prophet during his three-year ministry. He's still a prophet. He's still sending people to proclaim the saving gospel. Christ was our great high priest, the book of Hebrews says, who offered himself as the sacrifice. But it also says he continues to pray for us and intercede for us. And we can be very glad, as we said before, that we have a high priest who knows what it's like, what we go through, because he is man as well as God. Christ is our king. He rules over his church. He protects his church and governs over everything. And he doesn't do it in any remote way. He fills all in all. He is present with his creation. And then, of course, as the angels said to the disciples when Jesus ascended, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go. He's going to return.
We have covered a tremendous amount of ground here.
Yes,
trying to get
have.
The personal work of Christ into an entire hour or a mere hour. With only about 2 minutes here before we need to round off this conversation, sum up in terms of, say, just a single Bible passage, if you would, everything we've said about the personal work of Christ here.
I got to be honest with the audience. I put Todd up to asking this question about a single Bible passage because we have covered a lot of ground, and we need to hang our hats on one. I would like to suggest from John 10, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. Here's Jesus, the man, standing before a hostile audience of people who don't like him and his claims, but claiming to be the great I am, God himself, from the Old Testament. He says, I know my own, and my own know me. Well, the way to know him is by faith, and only those who know him will belong to him in blessedness and safety forever. He says, I laid down my life for the sheep. That's the substitutionary role of Christ. I mean, everything he had done up to that point in his life was being laid down in addition to his now dying this death for the sin of the world. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Jesus, as we said, did not always use the power he had as the man who is also God. He let the soldiers arrest him. He let them nail him to the cross. He let them kill him. That was the depth of his humiliation. But then, fully using that divine power, he took up his life again as our good shepherd, and therefore the Father exalts him at his own right hand. Because Jesus lives, we live also.